Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is June 4th, 2021, and we've got a full slate to touch upon on today's Current Sports. It has been a very busy week here on the show. A lot of happenings going down. You know, it's funny, I sat back And in the middle of working yesterday, I got a notification from YouTube, of all places. You know, I rarely get notifications from YouTube, or if I do, I don't really pay much attention to them. You know, everybody, you know, who has a YouTube account is subscribed to certain pages. And, you know, I'm subscribed to a few boxing YouTube channels. And yesterday, I got a notification that the notification was from Showtime Sports, their respective YouTube channel, and they were covering the Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather boxing media availability. You know, it was like media day for the Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul fight. And I want to remind anybody who's trying to check that fight out, that fight will not be taking place on what would usually be a Saturday night, right? You know, usually the big fights happen on Saturday night, but when it comes to this fight, it will be taking place on Sunday night. So Sunday, Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul. I sound like I'm in an advertisement, right? Like for a monster truck commercial. Sunday. So yeah, anyway, the media day was so different, and, you know, it really speaks to just still how polarizing Floyd Mayweather is in the eyes of the public, because, you know, the media day was actually held at the Versace Mansion in South Beach, Miami, Florida. You know, the Versace Mansion, it's somewhere that I've, you know, passed many, many times. I've never been inside, but you can go inside. I know a few people who've actually stayed at the Versace Mansion. You got to throw out some cheese, right? And there's a restaurant inside as well. You know, it's one of the landmarks of Miami Beach. So they held the media day for Floyd and Logan Paul there, and it was just quite the spectacle, man. You know, just so many cameras, so many microphones, not just from here in these United States of America, but really across the world, you know. And Floyd had his, you know, money team, yellow, blue, and white jumpsuit on with the Jamie Foxx aviator sunglasses. Then you had Logan Paul just, you know, really dressed down and casual, talking to the media. And they had a long, long stare down. And it was, the stare down was absolutely hilarious. Just because of the size differential, you know, Logan Paul is above 6 feet tall, you know, well over 200 pounds. And then you got little Floyd Mayweather, who is about like, what, 5'6", 5'7"-ish, something like that, staring up at Logan Paul. Just quite the spectacle. He's fighting a heavyweight here And it, you know, the rules are interesting because there will be no official winner announced to the public. You'll have 8 3-minute rounds. And, you know, this fight, if Floyd happens to lose this thing, and look, you know, I say happens to lose it, that's not very likely because Logan Paul is a YouTuber going against a supreme boxer in Floyd Mayweather, even though he's up there in age still. I mean, this is Floyd Mayweather. We're talking about fighting a YouTuber. I think it's highway robbery here. But when you talk about boxing and you talk about combat sports, you know, anybody can get caught. You know, anything can happen, I should say. So if Floyd happens to get caught and gets knocked out or something crazy happens and he loses the fight, well, guess what? That loss will not go on his record. So no matter what happens on Sunday night, Floyd Mayweather will not have a one on his loss record when it's all said and done. So interesting, though. It's an interesting spectacle. I wanted to bring that up to not only just remind you guys, but to just talk about, you know, still how Floyd Mayweather, I mean, he's going to rake in a lot of money when it comes to this fight. He really is. I mean, pay-per-views are usually for a Floyd Mayweather fight about $100. He's lowering it $50 for this one if you want to purchase and buy it. And, you know, just reading all of the headlines from, you know, ESPN to Yahoo Sports to Sports Illustrated, everybody's covering this thing. It's just amazing how Floyd still, you know, whatever your opinion may be of him, and you guys know I'm not the biggest Floyd Mayweather fan at all, whatever your opinion may be of him, he still garners so much attention. All right, and I'll have a little bit more on that later on this hour, folks. But a lot to get to. I want to start here with a few headliners, and then I want to get into one of the other big stories of the week, and that is the fact that Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, will be retiring from college basketball as a head coach. Coach K is retiring, folks. I mean, Coach K, whose name is synonymous with the Duke Blue Devils, right? Yeah, his career will be coming to an end after this season. He will be done after this year. So I'm going to touch upon that. I'm going to, of course, touch upon the NBA playoffs. Those who follow me on social media know that, you know, I've been tweeting, I've been posting statuses throughout the NBA playoffs first round. There is not one game that I've tweeted about more than, well, I should say there's not one series that I've tweeted about more than the Los Angeles Lakers and the Phoenix Suns series. And that series came to an end yesterday. If you've been living under a rock this morning / afternoon, well, LeBron James is no longer in the playoffs, folks. That's right. The Los Angeles Lakers were eliminated. The defending champion Los Angeles Lakers were eliminated from NBA Finals contention yesterday as they were beaten by the Phoenix Suns. 4-2 is how that series ends. I'll, of course, have many thoughts on that. And as promised earlier this week, I'm going to touch upon the Tokyo Olympics dealing with COVID-19 and whether or not they should push this thing through or just postpone it to next year. So that and so much more, folks. If you would like to be a part of the show, you guys know, just pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We've got a voicemail from our dear friend Alex that I'll also be weighing in on later on this hour. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News and comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I don't have many here, but I do want to touch upon the fact that we do have a winner in the softball classic. And we've got our two teams who have now made it to the Diamond Classic in baseball, all right? But, folks, you can make it 4 straight wins in the softball classic for Eden Rapids. How remarkable is that softball program there. They topped Holt 10-8 yesterday. They were able to stave off a Rams comeback that really got a little dicey there for ER. But ER holds pat, holds steady, gets the dub. And, you know, Wednesday's win, that completed a perfect run through the Classic for Eaton Rapids seniors, who also lifted the trophy up in 2018-2019. The 2020 event was canceled, of course, due to the coronavirus pandemic. So Eaton Rapids winning the Softball Classic on Wednesday. I said yesterday, but that was on Wednesday, folks. That was, again, a 10-8 final over Holt. So Eaton Rapids wins now its record 9th Classic championship, all coming since 09. And when you look at this accomplishment, and this squad is relatively young. You know, that was a point that was made by this team afterwards. A relatively young squad. This was the first Classic title for 12 of Eaton Rapids players. So I say that to say that this dominance could continue next year. We'll see. But Eaton Rapids softball is in a very healthy place. All right. And the Diamond Classic final was now set. Senior designated hitter Aiden Alspaugh, he played hero in the Grand Ledge Comets Diamond Classic semifinal win yesterday. He delivered a sharply hit single up the middle to score Noah Warren, sending Division I top-ranked Grand Ledge into the Diamond Classic final with a 3-2 victory. And this gives the Comets a chance at a third straight tournament title. How about that? And that win came over Okemos on Wednesday. So, again, that was yesterday. I keep getting these dates mixed up. That was on Wednesday, folks. So now Grand Ledge will face Division I 6th-ranked DeWitt in the Classic Championship game that will take place on Monday at 7 p.m. at Kircher Municipal Park. So Monday night, 7 p.m., again, you'll have Grand Ledge taking on DeWitt. And how DeWitt got there? Well, with a 3-3 tie heading into the last inning, some clutch hitting allowed DeWitt to play three runs and hold on for a 6-3 win over Eaton Rapids and a spot in that championship game. So that's how it played out there. Again, some late inning heroics, some last inning heroics there to allow DeWitt to play now Grand Ledge in that final. And Grand Ledge, we all know about that legendary program and Pat O'Keefe and just how great Pat O'Keefe is. But congratulations to the Comets on and again DeWitt, the Panthers on making it to the final there. All right, and just to close out the headliners here, I want to give you guys a quick recap of what happened in last night's NHL playoffs action as well as the NBA playoffs action. On Thursday, we saw the Bruins top the Islanders. So Boston over New York, game 3. Boston leads that series now 2-1. And in game 3 action, we saw the Carolina Hurricanes beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2 the final there. Tampa Bay leads that series 2-1. And in the NBA playoffs last night, the Denver Nuggets eliminated Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers 126-115 the final there, as Denver wins that series 4-2. And as I previously mentioned, the Phoenix Suns did away with the Los Angeles Lakers, a 13-point win for Chris Paul, Devin Booker and company, and the Suns, 113-100 over LeBron James and the Lakers. Anthony Davis did try to give it a go, but for those who watched that game, you guys know he only went a few minutes in that first quarter, and he just couldn't get any movement due to that groin strain that really hurt the Lakers' chances of being competitive in those final two games of that series. So the Suns will move on. They do away with the Lakers, winning that series 4-2 there, all right? And I'll have more on that series right now. But again, if you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And actually, I want to go to one of our callers right now. Let's roll in a voicemail from our dear friend Alex from East Lansing.
I really appreciate you bringing up the mental health awareness, especially with Naomi Osaka. The bigger picture is these kids today, they are being raised to be athletes. You can't go outside anymore and just play the game. You can't go outside and just play the game you love. Instead, mom and dad, they're going to ship you off to this camp and this camp. And if you can hit a baseball 120 yards at the age of six, they're going to send you off to that camp. It's too much for kids. You can't just go out and play anymore. Instead, you have to go out and perform.
All right, and thank you so much, Alex. That's my guy right there, man. And again, if you want to weigh in on anything that's on your sports noggin, like my guy Alex does all the time, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call us and leave us a voicemail, and you will hear your voice on that following day's current sports. And, you know, yeah, for those who have not been following current sports throughout this week, one of the big topics of note on the show has been Naomi Osaka, the world's most popular tennis player right now. I think that's fair to say. She was the highest paid female athlete this past year, but she's been battling some mental health issues, which have a direct correlation to, you know, this new spotlight that she's in. You know, being thrusted into mainstream pop culture, not just sports culture, but pop culture. I mean, she's everywhere. I, you know, I bring up the GQ spread in which she and her boyfriend, big time rapper Cordae, were in. You know, she's in so many fashion magazines. She's got so many endorsements. She's everywhere. And that can be a lot to handle as a young 20-year-old athlete. Simple as that, man. And like Alex brought up, I mean, there's so much pressure to perform now. I mean, if you are a good, talented athlete, and especially, you know, you look at the talent that you have, I mean, your parents are looking at you and saying, okay, you could do this thing at the professional level. And if that's your dream and aspiration, well, to go after that, you got to go to all these camps. You got to be seen, you know, by the best trainers, the best scouts, the best coaches, and you have to regiment your schedule around that dream. And at a certain point, I'm sure it doesn't just become playing sports for fun. It becomes a business. You begin to see the business side of everything. And for a young athlete like Osaka, and many young athletes out there who are thrust into that kind of spotlight and that kind of pressure, frankly, it can be a lot, and I'm sure that has contributed to those mental health issues that she is battling. So thank you for touching upon that, Alex. It is certainly a lot of layers to comb through. There are certainly a lot of layers to comb through when talking about that subject, and thank you for your input there. All right, so what I want to do is I want to hit our first break. When we come back, I want to dive into the retirement of legendary college basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski, better known as Coach K. And you know, this is like the second legendary head coach in the world of college basketball who has decided to chuck up the deuces and say, hey, I am calling it a career. Why is that? Well, I'll dive into that question. You'll also get my thoughts on the NBA playoffs and what was last night's elimination of the Portland Trail Blazers and the Los Angeles Lakers. That and more. You are listening to the Friday Fri-Yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And you know what? I got to dive into the retirement of Coach K because, you know, I knew that one day it was going to come. Coach K is not a spring chicken, man. I mean, he's in his 70s. And, you know, he's well past the normal retirement age that we see when it comes to college basketball coaches. But he's had still so much success. And, you know, Coach K being in his 70s, I mean, this brother does not look like he's in his 70s at all. I mean, he really takes care of himself. I mean, props to Coach K. Whatever your daily regimen is, man, keep it up, dude, because you are still looking young and spry and dapper, my man. So, but Coach K, at the age of 74, you know, again, well past the normal retirement age, he becomes the latest coach in college hoops to say, yeah, I have had a great career and I'm going to retire. You know, Roy Williams, head coach of the University of North Carolina men's basketball team. He walked out the door as well, as well as his own athletic director, Kevin White, longtime AD whose influence in college sports administration is unparalleled. He has decided to call it a career. How about Lon Kruger, the longtime men's basketball coach at Oklahoma? He retired recently, too. And also, so did Wisconsin's Barry Alvarez. Oh, I can't forget about this. Georgia's Greg McGarity as well. Dan Guerrero, long-tenured AD at UCLA. So we are seeing, alongside Coach K, so many big-time names in the college basketball coaching world and administrative world saying that, yeah, that's it. I'm calling it a career. So all of those men are at least 65 and you know, many of them are above 70 years old. So not really surprising, but let's be real here. I mean, when you read the headline, Roy Williams and Coach K retiring, it does do something to you because you're so used to seeing those two dudes man the sidelines of these major blue blood programs. So it's going to be a bit weird not seeing Roy this upcoming season on the sidelines of North Carolina. And, you know, knowing that this is going to be the swan song of Coach K, you're going to see a lot of just about everywhere he goes, you know, a lot of fan bases out there giving him a round of applause, despite the torment that he has caused when it comes to the opposition on the other side of Duke Blue Devils men's basketball games, just like at Michigan State, right? I always say, if Tom Izzo has a kryptonite in college basketball, it is definitely Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils, all right? But knowing that this dude who has accomplished so much will be retiring, there are going to be many people who sit there and give him, you know, his props. Simple as that. So, but yeah, he's 74, man. But, you know, I think you have to really dig deeper into this and take a closer look as to why now. Why now is this happening? Because I really think that with the new rule changes here, it's now turning off a lot of these older coaches who are saying, look, I don't have to put up with this new stuff, man. You know, I've had a great career, and now things are changing here. I think maybe it's time for me to leave the game because this is getting way too complicated. This is how they are seeing it, at least. The new rule changes for me, which I'm going to dive into in just a moment here, and I think you all know what they are. And I have been a very big advocate for them. But for an older coach, it does add more weight and add more stress to an already stressful job. I always say, man, I don't know how college coaches do it, especially the recruiting side of things. If they were just coaching, cool. If this was like the pros and all you had to do was just go out there and coach, cool. But the fact that you got to hop on a plane hundreds of days throughout the year to go and see recruits, to go and talk to recruits and try and woo these young kids and whose attention spans are that of, what, 3 seconds nowadays due to social media and video games and everything else. I mean, you just it's that stress, man. Who wants to deal with that? You know, I guess when you're getting paid millions upon millions of dollars, yeah, you'll deal with that stress. But, man, every human being has a breaking point, money aside. I mean, that has a direct correlation to what I was just talking about before that first break with Naomi Osaka, right? I don't care how many millions you make. You can't deny certain stresses that come along with that kind of money. You know, the great poet Biggie Smalls once said, "More money, more problems." And, hey, that's a fact. So, even though these college coaches are getting paid millions upon millions of dollars, these new rule changes will make it harder for them to do their jobs. All right? Chief among the issues is the roster management problem, right? Caused by the new transfer rule that allows all athletes the ability to transfer once, I should say, in their careers and play immediately. So if you're at a school, if you're at a program that you've committed to and you begin to play with that program and you got a year under your belt or maybe even 2 years and you say to yourself, man, all right, this was cool, but, you know, I'm not getting enough playing time. Or you know what, I'm just not really digging coach. Or you know what, I don't like this campus, man. I'm not really feeling this campus. Well, guess what? Whatever your reasons may be, you can say, all right, I'm out. You can transfer. You can put your name into the transfer portal. A team can pick you up. And look, you can play immediately. Immediately. Immediate eligibility. That's a game changer. And it gives college athletes power. Something that we have not been able to say throughout college athletics. And I have no problem with this because college athletes, the ones who really, you know, that's who we pay to see when we go to a college game. That's who we're locking in on, not the coach or the administration. We want to see these players play. They're the ones banking in money for their respective institutions and the NC2A, and they don't see a dime of it. So, yeah, I'm all for them getting whatever power they can get. But as a college coach, this makes your job more stressful because you're constantly on edge, checking in on your players to make sure that they're happy. And the moment that, because, you know, the moment that they aren't, they have the power to say, you know what, coach, thanks, but no thanks. I want to take my talents over here. And I'll play immediately. Maybe for a school or a program that is within your respective conference. That is a game changer. But, you know, Coach K, who's got so many years in the game at 74, he doesn't want to deal with that. He's got better things to do, like chilling on the beach or playing some golf now. All right? He doesn't want to deal with that kind of stress. And then, you know, I think that's the number one thing on the minds of many college basketball coaches out there. But number two is also the impending uncertainty of athlete compensation and also lingering issues from the COVID-19 shutdown. I think COVID-19 coming off that year and looking at how many programs had to shut down or just simply like completely pause games or completely cancel games, I should say. That was also a major stressor that maybe put things in perspective for coaches like Roy Williams and Coach K and Lon Kruger and Barry Alvarez. Maybe it was a wake-up call that, look, you know, there's more to life than just hoops. But, you know, the uncertainty of athlete compensation as different states I think many states, I think, and I have to double check this, but more states than not are looking at this and allowing athletes to get compensation for their name, image, and likeness. I know that Governor Gretchen Whitmer, she signed that bill that will allow athletes to do that who play college sports here in the state of Michigan, and that will go into effect, I believe, December of next year. So there's still some time here. That is not something that will immediately go into effect. But I believe December of 2022 is when we will see that rule go into effect, at least here in the state of Michigan. So there's so many question marks about the future of college athletics and how it will look. What will this new transfer rule look like for college sports today? How will that change the game? How will, you know, allowing athlete compensation change the game? What will college sports look like in the next 3 to 5 years? Heck, really, the next 1 to 5 years. This it really, you know, with this whole transfer thing, that's taking place right now. So, you know, I don't think Coach K or Roy Williams or Lon Kruger or Alvarez, I don't think they will come out and directly say it. They won't directly say, yeah, this is why I'm leaving. But you better believe it's a factor. And that now brings me to my next point. Because I think he's getting frustrated. You know, when I listen to Tom Izzo do interviews, he always brings it up. He talks about the transfer rule. You know, it being the wild, wild west. And, you know, he talks about, you know, how athletes today don't know what commitment is and all of that stuff. Izzo comments on all of that. We all know Izzo is not shy in letting his voice be heard. So, you know, Tom Izzo right now, he's 66 years old. That is not young. And he's on the back nine of his 60s. And we all know he's very competitive. He is relentless in his pursuit of that ever elusive second championship, second national championship. But, you know, you can hear the frustration in his voice when he talks about where college basketball is today. You can hear it. And when will he get to the point where that frustration boils over and he says, look, I'm done. You know, I mean, when does he get to that point? Because, again, he's expressed frustration with the evolution of the college game. You know, trying to navigate the one-and-dones over the past two decades and now trying to figure out this growing landscape in the NCAA's transfer portal. I mean, we saw all of the players that transferred from Michigan State after they were eliminated by UCLA in this past year's tourney. So, you know, I'm wondering, man, you know, and he's been through so much in his career. There was a time when we thought that maybe he would head to the NBA and coach LeBron James, go to the Cleveland Cavaliers after that 2010 Final Four. But, you know, he's been in this college game since, what, like 1983. And he's chosen the college game over the NBA. So, and he said many times, quote, I'm going to be a lifer. He said that many, many times. So, I don't know, man. But, like I said, I think every human being has a breaking point. And I think Tom Izzo is getting close. I really do. I think that I'll say this. Within the next 5 years, Tom Izzo will be stepping down as the head men's basketball coach of your Spartans. I'll say within 5 years. I think he may... You know, Tom Izzo being so competitive, I mean, he may challenge himself and say, all right, let me just at least go to 70. See if I can get to 70. He may put together like a goal like that for himself. I don't know. That's me trying to dive into the mind that is the great Tom Izzo. But with all these changes, I tell you what, it doesn't make him stay. I'll tell you that. You can hear it. You can hear it. So I have a question for you out there, guys. Again, if you call in, you'll hear your voice played right here on Current Sports, just as you just heard Alex's voice. You call in, leave us a voicemail, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call us, leave us a voicemail, and I want to get a prediction from the Current Sports listeners out there. How much longer do you think Tom Izzo will do this here in East Lansing? How much longer? Because I'm giving it, again, 5 years. I wouldn't be surprised in 3 years, though. If in 3 years, you know, that's adequate time for Tom Izzo to kind of evaluate how he really, really feels about this new transfer portal world. And he'll get a little taste of the name, image, and likeness rule as well, because that's going to be playing a factor. I believe that's going to be playing a factor into how certain recruits pick certain college programs. Oh, I can go to this state and play for you know, Tom Izzo. I can go to Michigan and play for Tom Izzo. They'll allow me to do car commercials. They'll allow me to sign autograph for compensation. They'll allow me to do some things over here. So I'll go over here as opposed to this school where I can't really do that. Or because name, image, and likeness is all about branding and how big your brand is, how visible you are in the public, you'll have a lot of the top players, or you have a lot of players, period, choosing schools based on, okay, how many times will they be seen on national television so that I can boost my brand so that my autograph is worth a little more than it is now? See, these are the type of conversations that you have when you talk about this new name, image, and likeness rule. And I'm all for it as well, because this is America. Look, man, if your image is worth a lot of money, you should be able to capitalize on that without the NCAA handcuffing you. All right, this is America. Freedom. You should be able to do that. But again, there will be an effect on how recruits choose the schools they go to. Then we get into a whole nother can of worms. Again, you see that it's a lot for a college coach to think about, isn't it? It's a lot. This isn't an easy decision. These aren't easy decisions, I should say, or easy things to deal with. But what do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. I'm going to take you home on some NBA playoffs talk, and I'm going to have Reflection Friday for you guys, in which I'm going to talk about the Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul fight coming up. I'm just going to briefly touch on that. There's not much I can say about that. It's an exhibition, and you know, I think that Floyd Mayweather is going to win easily. I mean, I think he's robbing anybody who pays for that fight, that $50 fight, because he's fighting a YouTuber, for goodness sakes. If Logan Paul upsets Floyd Mayweather, it will be the biggest upset in the world of boxing. Facts. All right. So I'll touch upon that on Reflection Friday, but I really want to dive into the Tokyo Olympics, and you'll get my thoughts on whether or not Tokyo should even have the Olympics this year, because COVID-19 numbers are not great out there. All right. We'll be right back. We'll take you on home after this second break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I also just want to touch upon this, guys. Jared Goff, have you guys been reading or following the rave reviews of Jared Goff at Detroit Lions OTAs? Yeah, the new Lions quarterback. I mean, he's left teammates and coaches singing his praises after the first batch of organized team activities last week. This came from head coach Dan Campbell. This is what he had to say on Wednesday. Quote, look, I don't want to get too far on this right now, but I'll tell you what, it was impressive. He made some throws that were, my gosh, they were outstanding. Just pinpoint accurate throws. He was good on his reads. I felt like he had one bad throw. And it was really more he was late on the throw. I want to say he made about five throws that were just, wow, okay, that's really good. Really good. Just pinpoint, back shoulder, guy running up on a wheel and it's back shoulder right on the ear or up the seam or an out route to TJ Hockenson, threw it right by the defender where only he could get it. He's got a lot of confidence right now, and I think he's getting a good grasp of the offense. It was impressive. It really was. We are happy. We are pretty happy right now. Oh, and I'm reading the same thing from media members who are at OTAs, raining down his praises. I don't know. Maybe, again, we're not expecting much from Goff here. So, you know, the bar is very, very low. But, you know, if he can, you know, turn back the clock to not that long ago when he led the L.A. Rams to the Super Bowl. I don't know. Maybe the Lions can make a little bit of noise offensively and surprise some folks. I highly doubt that. I wouldn't bet the house on that. But we'll see. Good reviews from Jared Goff, though. All right. NBA playoffs. Brief thoughts here. L.A. Lakers go down to the Phoenix Suns. They are now eliminated from the playoffs. These are the defending NBA champions we're talking about. 113-100 the final. Phoenix wins that series 4-2. And Damian Lillard, Dame Dalla, who I feel for so much. He gave and he gives his heart and soul into every game that he plays. Wasn't enough, though, as the Joker, Nikola Jokic, he goes off for 36 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and beats Dame Dalla's Portland Trail Blazers, eliminates them from the playoffs, 126-115, the final last night. I may have further thoughts on Dame next week because I want to talk about what he may do, what he should do this offseason. Should he stick with the Portland Trail Blazers and see if they can put some pieces around him, or should he go in this era of mobility that is the National Basketball Association? But when it comes to the Lakers, man, you know, I had many thoughts watching that last night. First of all, those that follow me on social media, you guys know I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan. Ever since this whole conversation of who the greatest basketball player of all time is, and LeBron James stands out there, would choose him over the true GOAT, which is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Michael Jeffrey Jordan is my childhood idol. And you come from Mike, I'm not going to like that. So I have been on LeBron James's head, really picking apart his game and dissecting why he is not the greatest of all time. You guys know that. And a big reason why is just look at these last two games. All right, LeBron James had the ultimate green light to completely take over and be as aggressive as he needs to be to make sure that the Lakers stayed afloat. Why? Well, because Anthony Davis, who is the straw that stirs that purple and gold drink, well, because Anthony Davis got hurt. Left groin strain. And a groin injury is not something you can come back in a day or two. That's like a 2-week injury, as Kevin Harlan highlighted alongside Grant Hill last night. So when he went out, it was on LeBron James. Can LeBron James carry this team? Well, I don't think so, because I don't think that that supporting cast of the Lakers, I've said this all year, I didn't think they were that good. That supporting cast of the Lakers was just so inconsistent throughout the entire season. Look, there's a reason, coupled with the injuries, I get that. You know, let's not forget LeBron's sprained ankle that lasted for like 5 years. But that supporting cast was incredibly inconsistent. So you got inconsistency from the supporting cast and you got injuries to deal with. There's a reason why the Lakers were a 7 seed, all right? But when your sidekick goes out, you know, I think of Michael Jordan, you know, and I think about the Last Dance documentary. And in that final year, Scottie Pippen feuding with Chicago Bulls management, right? He could have got his lower leg surgery done at the end of that fifth championship run. But, you know, he didn't want to mess up his summer, so he decided to have that surgery right when the season was about to begin, and that put Michael Jordan in a tough position because he didn't have the Robin to his Batman at the beginning of that year. So, look at LeBron James. He didn't have the Robin to his Batman in Anthony Davis. So it all falls on your shoulders. And what it might do, Mike is so competitive, and he loves competition so much that, you know, when the reporters asked him, if you look at the Last Dance documentary, when they asked him about that challenge of not having Scotty, he smiled. The dude smiled and said, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm ready. He loves that kind of stuff. When you challenge him and he has to step up to a challenge and deliver, that's the biggest difference between him and LeBron James, because LeBron, I think he panicked. He didn't know what to do without Anthony Davis. What did he do? Well, he just passed, and oh yeah, he passed some more. That's what he did. LeBron was not aggressive. And, you know, it got to the point where it was so frustrating, and I was just watching it like, yep, this is what he – it wasn't frustrating for me because I knew he was going to do this. Pass the ball, not be really aggressive or assertive. But it got to a point, Grant Hill called him out. For those who watched the game last night, Grant Hill called LeBron out and said, what is he doing, man? And I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, what are you doing? You know, I'll live with you, LeBron James, shooting every shot, but passing the ball every time you get it, it's not gonna translate into a win. It's not gonna give the Lakers a chance to win this game. He became aggressive later on in the second half, but by then it was really too little, too late. Especially Devin Booker. You know, and I think about the greats of the past, like Michael Jordan, like Kobe Bryant, like Allen Iverson, guys who were just uber competitive. If your back is – when their backs were against the wall and they're facing adversity here, especially, you know, an elimination game, for goodness sake, and they see somebody on that opposition going off, straight killing them in the points category – they would try to respond at least. Try to match that energy of whoever was giving them the business on the other end. And Devin Booker went off for 47 points. He had something like, I don't know what, like 20 points in the first quarter alone. And LeBron just kept LeBroning. Passing the ball, man. So I hope Manny LeBron fans out there wake up and realize that he's not the GOAT after watching that series, but many of them are very delusional and they probably won't wake up from that. But the Lakers and Anthony Davis, just wrap him up in bubble wrap, right? That dude is always hurt. I'm kind of like Charles Barkley, man. I like the nickname Charles Barkley gave him on TNT. Anthony Street Clothes Davis, because he is always in street clothes. And look, he tried to go last night. And look, we can debate left and right, you know, about the training staff and the doctors giving him a medical clearance to play when he clearly could not play. But look, it's an elimination game. There's pressure, I'm sure, on those doctors and those trainers. You know, maybe they wanted to see just how he felt in the beginning of that game just to see if he could go the majority of that game. And he just couldn't, man. But Anthony Davis is always hurt. He is injury prone, and that is very unfortunate because he is one of the most talented players this game has ever seen. All right. So, tonight's action. Clippers-Mavs, the only game tonight. Isn't that a little bit weird? We've been seeing at least two games. But now as we, you know, inch closer to now the second round of the NBA playoffs, you're going to see those games kind of dwindle down. But Dallas has an opportunity to eliminate the LA Clippers as Dallas and Luka Doncic, they lead that series 3-2. That will be a 9 p.m. tip time on ESPN. All right. But again, Logan Paul taking on Floyd Mayweather. That will be a Sunday night bout. We will recap all of that on Monday's Current Sports. Gosh, I guess I got to postpone the Tokyo Olympics again. I just get caught up talking and blabbering, right? But I'm going to dive into the Tokyo Olympics next week. We'll have a few special guests on the show next week. So going to be a fun next week of current sports. But I want you all to please have a happy, a safe weekend. It is going to be absolutely gorgeous here in Lansing, folks. 90-degree sunny weekend, folks, on both Saturday and Sunday. Enjoy it. We'll see you back here on Monday, same time, same place. Be easy, people.